Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Circa. Welcome to the continuation of Betting Across America. I'm Jeff Parles. Amol Shah. Amol, when's the last time you and I worked together? It's been a while.
It definitely has been a while. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I was talking to our great producer Elliot before the show, and I was trying to figure out when was the last time. It had to have been like 2019.
It was a long time. But I tell you right now, Jeff, we're already off to a rough start. Elliot and great, I don't know. Jury's still out. No, I'm kidding. That's my guy. Are you kidding me? I'm kidding.
Are the two Mizzou grads you're dealing with today.
You know, I forgot about that. We're going to be talking Tigers football. Should last about 30 seconds. Looking at probably about a 4-8 season there in Como.
I was going to go under 30 seconds, actually.
We got to give him a shot.
You got a full 30?
Yeah, I got a full 30 on that.
But we got a lot to get to, Amol. We'll hear from Alex Schiffer, who covers the Nets for The Athletic. Yeah. We'll hear from Mike Peranio later. We'll hear from Dave Ross. But Amol, let's just start with the biggest news in the sports world today. Iga Swiatek finally lost. She's done in Wimbledon.
Yeah, remember, she had junior success at Wimbledon, winning this tournament as a junior. But not once you step up in the women's WTA side. It's a whole different animal. And we see Iga go out there. Look, I've said all along, Iga's played great tennis. But I think the one thing that's gone vastly overlooked, Jeff, in terms of big picture with this tennis and her success, the best players, number one, the best player in the world is not playing right now, and she's retired. That's Ash Barty. Yeah, she's the defending champion. Remember, she was the defending Australian Open and Wimbledon champion currently. She walked away from the game at 26. A lot of the players like Petra, who's had great success, goes out today. You just don't have the same players with the same cachet. Naomi Osaka's been an enigma for the last year or so. We know Serena Williams is on a downturn in her career. She's literally played two matches in the last 12, 13 months, both at Wimbledon, losing both of them in the first round. So I think Iga's gotten a ton of credit, not taking anything away from her success, but Elise Cornet is a player who's had success against higher-ranked players in her 30s, been around for a long time. I think the big surprise was the scoreline when you look at the domination today.
It was 6-4, 6-2. Wasn't really even that close.
No.
Amol, and now that opens the draw up for Ons Jabeur. I'm holding a nice pre-tournament ticket on Jabeur, so I like that result today with Swiatek going out.
I've got 15-1 on Simona Halep, and I'm going to ride Halep. This is a multiple-time Grand Slam champion, having won at Wimbledon in 2019. Really played probably the best match of her life at center court in the final against Serena, dominating that match and winning in straight sets. Jabeur is terrific. She's got a great opportunity. Paula Badosa had really a rough patch for 2 months, starting to come on, have an opportunity here. I think it's wide open. When you look at the women's draw, I think Amanda Anisimova, with her power game, if her second serve can be solid, she's got an opportunity. She takes care of business against the American phenom in Coco Gauff today.
Yes, that was an upset, technically, Anisimova over Gauff. And then also on the men's side right now, right before we get on the air, you get a text I see on Twitter, Kyrgios and Tsitsipas, as wild as one would have expected. Kyrgios looking to close out set number three to go up 2-1.
Jeff, you might be the best tennis player I don't know about, but I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't bet Nick Kyrgios if he was playing you, because I don't trust Nick. He is not a guy that you can trust consistently. And to me, that's one of the biggest issues when you look at him in terms of his thought process, his mental acuity. It's just not there. You don't trust him, and he's not a guy I would want to back in a lot of spots.
So Kyrgios right now looking to serve out set number three. That would put him up 2-1 again. That is a pretty heavy-duty third-round matchup where, again, we know the history with Kyrgios, who a little bit nuts. We'll just go with that there, Amal.
Yeah, the problem is, talent-wise, this guy on grass should be a top-five player every year, should be a Grand Slam finalist at Wimbledon or a semifinalist. Maybe if you run into the Joker or Rafa, you might run into a problem. But with his serve and even his second serve, Nick is unbelievable, but he doesn't have the temperament that's necessary to win. I'm wondering if he tastes success, which he has previously. He's won in Washington. He's really played well when he goes against the big three. But I don't get why this guy will throw an underhand serve in when you've got one of the top five serves in the world. You've got an all-court game that can be dominant outside of clay, really. I shouldn't say all-court, but at least on grass and on hard courts. This guy has the ability to win.
Definitely. And again, if he gets by Tsitsipas, that quarter opens up for Kyrgios for sure. Looking at what else is going on this week. I know you had thoughts this week on UCLA and USC moving to the Big Ten starting in 2024. We're 2 days after that report came out of nowhere. And then 5 hours later, the two biggest programs out West were in the Conference of the Midwest.
Well, you know, first of all, I heard a rumor that your school, Missouri, might be looking to get to the Big Ten.
I wouldn't be surprised, but there is a lot of money that would, again, that's the one conference that could equal the SEC for Mizzou. Geographically, it makes sense.
Geographically, it makes tremendous sense. Either way, they can go in either. But the thing is, Missouri, outside of Vanderbilt and Florida, are probably the only two schools, and I might be leaving somebody out in the SEC, but that would qualify academically to join the Big Ten. Because there's a requirement in terms of where you are academically to join the Big Ten. That's why USC and UCLA were slam dunk. Oregon, I'm not as familiar with academically. Washington, tremendous university, would be one that would qualify easily. Let's start with the one negative. You've got the geographic situation, right? The Reykjavik, Iceland, is closer to Newark than Los Angeles is. So from that standpoint, it's you're looking at flight times are a challenge. But nobody's going to pretend that the NCAA or these colleges care about the student athlete. So now that we've got that off the table, this is a huge boon for UCLA and USC and for the Big Ten. Let's start from a USC-UCLA perspective. I think from a recruiting point of view now, you can get kids from the Midwest to come out West a lot easier because you're going to be on TV, you're going to be playing in your home state, you're going to have opportunities. And then from the Big Ten perspective, you only enhance your footprint in the state of California, the number two television market. You're intertwined with the number one market in New York City. You've got the number three market in Chicago. I mean, if you're the Big Ten and you've got a deal with Fox, you talk about the noon and then 3:30 kickoffs. And by the way, give Fox a ton of credit. They understand gambling. They don't kick off until 4 and 7:30, like 8 o'clock.
Right.
They understand. That's why the NFL pushed those 1 p.m. to 4:25 starts. Do you know how much of a precipitous drop you have in ratings when nobody gets those 4 o'clock bets in? I mean, it changes the dynamic.
You're not wrong. And look, it's interesting, like looking at both of these programs too, because you could argue USC's been the most disappointing football program other than Texas over the last decade. And now you move them in with Lincoln in the Lincoln Riley era. You move them into this big thing where I don't think they're going to have a problem competing in the Big Ten. I don't think they're going to have a problem at all. And then UCLA, even if football's a little bit down, they're so good in everything else. It's so good in everything else.
If you take football off the table, UCLA along with Stanford is probably, and USC as well, really. They're the best among the maybe sports that people don't pay attention to as much.
Stanford, we know, is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely, in terms of winning the Director's Cup for overall sports. But to your point, I think USC, one of the funny things I found was the argument, and this goes back to when the coach at Wyoming took over at Purdue. He was Drew Brees' coach there. Tiller. When Tiller came in there, they go, well, you're not going to be able to throw the ball in Big Ten weather. First of all, the last game of the Big Ten regular season is in late November.
Right.
Second, he came from Wyoming. People were like, well, USC is going to have to play in a blizzard. How many blizzards are there? And by the way, their last game of the regular season is going to be 10
LA.
Miles across the town at the Rose Bowl or, you know, at the Coliseum.
Right.
I mean, come on, give me a break. So I think that's a complete misnomer. On top of it, when you look at this, I think it bodes well for all factions involved here. I think it's going to be extremely beneficial for everyone.
Moving this just for a betting perspective into this year for USC and UCLA, because last year didn't provide any betting impact really in the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Texas's news. Texas was still a bumbling mess. Oklahoma, even though they were down, still able to win the conference championship game by they did actually, by my mistake, I'm confusing them with Baylor, of course, stopping Oklahoma State at the goal line, but Oklahoma and Texas didn't really get impacted as much as you would sometimes think. For UCLA and USC, I don't think there's any really betting impact to be had of, oh, there's going to be revenge on these things. Nonsense. That doesn't exist these days.
No. I'm not concerned at all from that standpoint. You know, USC's just got to get things going the right direction. You mentioned them coming in the Big Ten could have tremendous success. USC in the last 4 years has lost more games than Ohio State has in the last 12.
Right.
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the Trojans. But to me, when you look at USC, this is a program. I still contend this is the premier, if all things are equal, coaching, in terms of, you know, just getting players into the university. Because remember, UCLA's got academic standards that don't allow them to take everybody.
Right, the California state system, yep.
And so I think USC, to me, if all things are going equally, I think they could be the premier program in college football.
Well, and look, at this point, and on a hidden Philadelphia for me on Thursday, I was asked about this. If you're a kid from the Midwest, and now you can play, like you said, play games in your home state on the road, wouldn't you rather as an 18, 19-year-old kid go spend your time in Los Angeles as opposed to freezing your behind off in Ann Arbor or East Lansing?
I don't remember how much the application to UCLA was. I applied there with no shot of getting in. But I was hoping I would slip through the cracks and be another Shaw that they rubber stamped in. You know, I was hoping to accidentally get in. Of course, I'm telling you right now, you step foot on the campus of either UCLA or USC, the surrounding area of USC notwithstanding, you want to go to USC. To me, I've always said, if you get the right salesman in there, that's what Pete was. Pete was the best salesman.
Pete was great.
He was unbelievable. You bring in guys and you could easily. But here's the thing. The one problem in Los Angeles is this. USC football has to be good to get support. Look, Nebraska's terrible and they still get support.
They're sold out every
game. They're sold out every game.
No, it's a good point, Amal. And for this year, of course, Lincoln Riley there now. Caleb Williams there now. 9.5 on USC's win total at DraftKings. It'll be a very interesting first step, especially with having the quarterback there finally yet again for USC. And, of course, the coach that we expect to push them forward and the right coach to have them going into the Big Ten with.
Are you sold on Caleb Williams the way they talk about him? I think he's a very good player with a tremendous upside, but they talk about him like he's, you know, Kyler Murray or Baker having already won a Heisman.
Yeah, and you know, it's just one of those where I expect him to do very well early, and it'll be interesting to see once there's more tape on him at SC, even more tape from what he had yet last year at Oklahoma. It'll be interesting to see. Alex Schiffer joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on where Kevin Durant maybe ended up next here on Betting Across America.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Hellfade Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting Across America rolling along here on a Saturday afternoon. I'm Jeff Parles, Amal Shah, alongside. Before we get to our guy, Alex Schiffer, looks like Nick Kyrgios took a pretty nasty spill on center court there, Amal.
He did. He slips down on an opportunity against Tsitsipas there. He had three break points on the opening service game of the fourth set. Kyrgios, leading 2-1, has only faced one break point on his own serve, Jeff. So if you're Nick, you want to figure out a way to make sure you can stay in this match, and then you'll worry about Monday on Monday.
Yeah, going full serve bot so far today, Kyrgios.
Oh, yeah. He really is.
Definitely, for sure. But now with us, he covers the Brooklyn Nets. For The Athletic, he's had a heck of a week, Amal. Is Alex Schiffer live, actually, not from the 7 train. I was a little worried we might have him from the 7 train, but in Queens today to root on our New York Mets against the Texas Rangers. But Schiff, pleasure as always to have you on. Just go through from the moment that the report came out that Durant wanted out. What does this week look like for you? And just go through where you think we're standing at right now.
Yeah, I got the Shams alert. I had a feeling that it might come at some point, but still I yelled holy cow in my house, and then I had to tell everyone that everything was okay and the world was ending. But yeah, I mean, really since then it's been working the phones and trying to see where the Nets stand on all this. I think this is going to go eBay style, and you know, they want highest bidder, and you know, you hear about teams continuing to re-up their offers. I feel like if I'm the Nets, I can kind of kick my feet back a little bit and just watch everybody outbid themselves before really deciding what direction I want to go with some of this.
Alex, don't you think, though, the offer's got to be something comparable to or greater than what Minnesota acquired in the got in terms of the Utah trade with Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that whole haul they got when I saw it in its entirety. I feel like Sean Marks might be writing Tim Connolly or even Danny Ainge right now thank you letters of like, look, you just raised the market even more for me. You know, people already talked about the Paul George Thunder trade, which I don't really look at as a one-to-one with this because that was kind of like an overnight deal where Kawhi recruited PG, and obviously the Anthony Davis trade. That's crazy for a player. Nothing on Rudy Gobert, but he's just not Kevin Durant. So I think that just kind of reset the market a little bit too, where if you're the Nets, you can go back to teams and say, look at what they just got Rudy Gobert for. You think I'm going to take anything less than that? So I think they have a ton of control right now with what they can get.
Gobert, of course, yielded 5 players, 4 first-round picks yesterday. Just a wild haul that Minnesota gave up to get the Twin Towers, Amal.
Yeah, absolutely right. To me, the big thing is the 4 first-rounders, Alex, and I think if you're Brooklyn, easier way to rebuild is doing that. I want to switch gears a little bit and look at it from Mark's perspective and Joseph Tsai. If you're ownership, Kevin Durant is under control for 4 more years. Why are you not going full Al Davis here and telling him, hey, listen, Marcus Allen, we're going to sit you? You know, to me, if you don't get the right trade, I don't trade Kevin Durant. There is no reason in the NBA these owners continue to be held hostage by guys under contract with lengthy deals still.
I agree with all that, and I definitely don't think there's necessarily a rush. But I do think that just the optics of this have been such a mess and so bad. Do you really want to put a team on the court next year? And we don't even know if, you know, I'm in believer when I see him with Ben Simmons taking the floor. You know, if there's a world in which they had Kyrie, Kevin, and Ben all still under contract, then obviously two of them would be probably at home, and Kyrie and Kevin, and then Ben, you know, whatever his situation may be. To me, that's such a terrible look after, like, all of this is gone. You know, maybe I'm sure optics might not be the first priority in all this, given the message created, but, like, I feel like it would just be a tough message to send, given what the fans have been through with all this. So I agree that, again, they can sit back and wait, but I also think that the quicker they can kind of press the reset button on all this, be rid of this era that wasn't, and move forward also, the better.
Schiff, just looking at the teams, obviously, on the list for Durant, Phoenix and Miami were on there. There's not really a package for Miami that makes a lot of sense for Brooklyn. For Phoenix, I don't think there's the right assets. So eliminating those two teams, what is the team then that makes the most sense, that can give a package that is even remotely close to what Brooklyn would want?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I mean, obviously there's a CBA clause with the Heat, and they can't trade Bam Adebayo because you're not allowed to have two players trade for two players on rookie extensions. You know, my understanding is the Nets might not be crazy about acquiring DeAndre Ayton either. And as you said, I mean, you put him and Mikal Bridges with Ayton, or excuse me, with Ben Simmons. I mean, you don't really have a guy that can get his own shot. So I like Toronto if you can get Scotty Barnes as a centerpiece, you know, rookie of the year. I think the Nets need to acquire the best player 23 and under they can. And I would call the Pelicans about Zion or Brandon Ingram, especially Zion. He has said he wants to play in New York and loves playing at the Garden. He'd be just across the East River, and he would get his divisional games at the Garden. And you still have a lot there if you're New Orleans. And to me, if you're the Nets, you have a centerpiece to rebuild around. So I like those options more so than Miami and Phoenix.
Alex, I have not heard the Zion to Brooklyn sending Durant to New Orleans. I actually love that proposal you just came up with, because to me, if you're Brooklyn, you can build long-term with him. And if you are New Orleans with C.J. McCollum, Valanciunas, and potentially Brandon Ingram, you can win right now. I don't think, even though Golden State won the title, I don't think anyone is overwhelmingly dominant. I like that proposal. Is that something that's been floated out? Or I don't want to take credit away from you if that was your concoction.
Well, while you're complimenting me, two more things. Willie Green, the Pelicans coach, was with Kevin Durant in Golden State. There's a relationship there. And something interesting, you talk about there being legs. Zion Williamson agreed to his rookie extension, if you saw the tweets, but he hasn't signed it yet. Once he signs it, my great idea goes off the board, back to my CBA clause. So I think it's very interesting that the terms have been agreed upon, but you have not seen a signature yet. Maybe it's the holiday weekend. I can't imagine the fourth in New Orleans. That sounds like a ball. But I think it's a little interesting that we haven't seen him agree see him sign that contract since he agreed to the terms a day or two ago.
If I got $200+ million pending, I am taking a full police escort down to the facility. And I'm going in a body air cast.
Why? I mean, why not? Right?
100%.
Schiff, the other big name, of course, Kyrie opted in as the big 1 year left. Obviously, the Nets ownership does not want him there next year. There seems to be no reason to expect that Brooklyn will send him where he wants to go. But where do you think he ends up going?
It's a really good question. You know, I think the Nets are kind of waiting to see the Kevin Durant trade go through. And, you know, kind of some of the gymnastics we've just been talking about. I have a feeling when this whole thing is said and done, this is going to be like a four-team, maybe 10 to a dozen players moving around because of all the cap gymnastics that have to make this work. So I feel like we see that trade happen before the Kyrie Irving situation figures itself out. You know, and that's why I'm you know, the Lakers would love to get rid of Russell Westbrook. The Nets just can't take him. I mean, that's $47.5 million. You talk about the repeater tax and what that would cost. And then just the on-court product. John Wooden, I'm sorry, Jeff, but, well, you're used to my recycled humor. I've made this reference four times on the radio. John Wooden could not concoct an offense that worked with Ben Simmons or Russell Westbrook on the court. So I don't know what the answer is. Like, I feel like that's why the Kevin Durant trade needs to happen, and then that's kind of go from there in terms of how they get rid of him, even if it means just waiving him or something. But I don't see a natural – for really for both KD and Kyrie, because of what we've been talking about, I just don't see a natural no-brainer, this is the move you make in all this. And that's why I think some things need to get shaken out a little more before that all happens.
You know, Alex, you mentioned Kyrie Irving, potential landing spot we've heard is Los Angeles. Forget the dollars and the liabilities in terms of the luxury tax for Brooklyn. But, I mean, Sean Marks went to Cal Berkeley. This is not a dumb guy. I don't understand why everyone thinks that people are going to take Russell Westbrook like he's some gold bullion.
First off, you're only the second person outside of myself to make the Cal Berkeley reference with Sean. I don't think that gets sold enough. He, as you said, this guy was a political science major.
Yeah.
People keep talking about swapping a headache for another, but didn't the Nets just do that with Philly, with the James Harden and Ben Simmons trade? Like that you can't just keep making deals off of how much Advil you're taking every night. So I don't see it makes no sense from a basketball fit. It makes no sense on the tax situation. Like, they're just not going to do that. And again, like, I think the Nets would prefer to not have Kyrie Irving sit home, but like, I think the Lakers are the more desperate team when it comes to Kyrie Irving. Like, they need him to be a contender next year more so than the Nets, because the Nets situation is already kind of over and the standards are getting reset. So if I were the Nets, I'd call Rob Pelinka, say, find someone else to take Russ, and let's find another way to make this work. But we don't owe you anything on this. Guys, there's a $5 million trade kicker for Kyrie Irving. He gets paid $5 million to get traded.
Alex, enjoy the Mets game. Of course, he's Alex Schiffer, covers the Brooklyn Nets for The Athletic. Alex, thanks for being with us today. Enjoy the Mets game out there in Citi Field. We're back with more next on Betting Across America.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Betting Across America here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Amal Shah. Big thanks to Alex Schiffer for joining us. A lot to get to in the NBA, Amal. And, of course, it's a Saturday. Not too much is going on other than some golf and some Wimbledon, I should say. So it's perfect time for your A-list. Going into the first few days of free agency, and it really wasn't even free agency that caught your eye. It was a pair of trades that caught your eye.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rudy Gobert one is the big one, and I think it's a win for both sides. And I do think Utah gave up a little bit too much. I'm sorry, the Jazz.
Minnesota gave up.
I'm sorry, Minnesota. I apologize. Yeah, Minnesota gave up too much. But when you look at it in the West, I think with the size that they have with Karl Anthony Towns, Gobert being more of a paint guy, but Big Cat does play in the paint, so that's a little bit of a concern. Anthony Edwards, tremendous scorer. If you keep D'Angelo Russell, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then, of course, you add Kyle Anderson. With that size, you're looking at 6'9", 6'11", 6'11", maybe 7 feet across the front line. Reminds me of the old Lakers there. You know, you go with Worthy at 6'9", you got A.C. Green and then Kareem. This could be a big, big front line. I think this can be dangerous, a dangerous team. But you know what concerns me, Jeff, is the lack of bench now for Minnesota.
Right. So a few factors in that trade. Yeah. First off, they gave up way too many assets. Maybe they thought they had to.
Yeah.
Maybe Tim Connelly, after having really, really the pay straps were on him in Denver.
Yeah.
And finally, someone tells him, hey, you can do whatever you want. And he just goes wild. And we know Danny Ainge has been great at getting an excessive amount of assets back for guys who may not be worth the amount of assets that come back for him.
You know, Danny Ainge is turning into Jerry West 2.0.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just understanding how to make acquisitions and get the best long-term haul, and it seems like it's really trending in the right direction for them. But I'll tell you what, I'm really excited to see what Minnesota does, but because A-Rod is part of their ownership group, I will not be cheering for them. I don't understand this. Jeff, this would be like the fact that he's on ESPN talking Sunday Night Baseball and he's been suspended for roids. To me, that's like us having on Ivan Boesky or Michael Milken to talk about stock trading when they've both been convicted for insider trading. I don't get it. I don't understand why this guy's propped up. That's my little shot at the T-Wolves.
I was going to say that. The two mentions you just made, that if you had those mentions over a half, cash your 10,000 to one, which might not even be long enough. You know, the one thing I'll say with Minnesota, though, because you mentioned this right before we hopped on the air. They are clearly in win-now mode.
Yes.
Clearly. You don't make this deal if you're not in win-now mode. The biggest concern, more than anything, for me, Amal, is you traded all these assets to win now for a guy who has now in multiple postseasons been run off the court by select teams. And that's my big concern here. Now, you're better defensively because Karl-Anthony Towns has shown that he can't be a big defensive interior force. We know Gobert is a great regular season player. But my concern is you get into a playoff series against Dallas, who very easily could be a 4-5 in the Western Conference next year. The way Dallas plays, Gobert could be run out of that series. That's the big problem that I have, trading all those assets for a guy who has been run out of multiple series now.
I would agree with you. However, I would look at historically in the NBA, going back about 42 years now, it's always been teams with size minus Jordan, LeBron, and Steph. And the reason I bring those guys up, they're all historically great.
Right.
Steph's the greatest shooter of all time. LeBron's one of the greatest players of all time. MJ is the greatest player of all time. Between those players, you're talking about 14 rings. You look at the Celtics when they won three titles with Bird, Parrish, and McHale, the best front line ever. They had monstrous size.
Massive size, yes.
Lakers had great size. Magic in the backcourt. I mean, Byron Scott was the only guy that couldn't get the height requirement in on that team. But you look at the Pistons, they had size up front. Mahorn, Laimbeer, Buddha Edwards. The dream was there. I mean, with Duncan and Robinson, with Timmy himself, there was great size, and you had guys interior that could make plays. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think you bring up a good point in terms of 1v1. The Joker had one of the great lines of all time against Rudy Gobert. Rudy's like waving everybody off. I got him. He goes, brother, I've got 47. Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, man, you're not stopping him. And so from that standpoint, I think Rudy Gobert is going to be an interesting fit here. I think he'll help out Karl-Anthony Towns, particularly on the defensive side. But for me, I think a similar situation has happened in Boston. They acquire Malcolm Brogdon.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Jeff, I love Brogdon. I love his disposition. Played at UVA. Smart guy, cerebral, 50-40-90 capable guy. And the problem I have is they're the opposite version of the T-Wolves. T-Wolves are going big, you know, with Kyle Anderson at 6'9 coming in there. What is Boston trying to do? Win the 6'8 and under title? I mean, you don't have much size. I get Williams and Horford, and I like those guys, but I'm just saying, Brogdon, to me, along with Tatum and Brown, I don't know. It seems like kind of not necessarily a similar player, but on the same level. But I still overall like the acquisition.
So I really did like this trade more so than the Gobert trade. And yes, they technically gave up on paper, just by sheer numbers, a lot of pieces for Brogdon.
Yeah.
But they didn't give up anything that makes you think, oh, I wouldn't have given that up for Brogdon. They gave up players that were not really impact players moving forward for them. And for Indiana, obviously, Indiana is now in full-blown tank mode. We know that. But for Brogdon, I understand what you're saying with not having a lot of size other than those two guys up front. Yeah. You traded Tyson this deal as well. But you are adding a guy who, coming off the bench, as well as Derek White played in the playoffs. We've never seen that from Derek White in his career before. We know Brogdon leading a second unit can give you a boost that maybe, what, three teams, four teams have in the league at this point? A guy like that being able to come off the bench?
I would agree with you. I think you bring up an excellent point in terms of what he can give you as a sixth man is going to be an absolute difference maker. And I think when you look at Daniel Tyson, I forgot who else went in that trade to Indiana, but I don't think it's that big of a deal from a Boston perspective. They're going to be just fine. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
So Brogdon and, of course, Danilo Gallinari signed. I know.
I know
you're very excited about Danilo. Up. But the other pieces going that way are Daniel Theis.
Yep.
Aaron Nesmith. Sauce Castillo. Somehow Nick Stauskas is still playing, which is amazing. Malik Fitz. Jawan Morgan. And a 2023 first-round pick that will be in the late 20s. They give up nothing.
They give absolutely. The first-round picks outside the lottery and maybe say 15, 17, really don't have that much value.
No, not at all. The other trade made Friday, Amal, not on your A-list, and I think properly so, not on your A-list. Kevin Huerter gets sent
to Sacramento.
Poor Kevin Huerter, who I actually like as a player. Very useful player. Long, can shoot the three. Someone teaches him a little bit of defense, could even be even better. poor guy gets shipped out to Sacramento, which is just basically the equivalent of NBA Siberia at this point.
It is, but you know, and the worst part is you're paying California state tax on 41 games, not to mention the games you play against the Clippers and the Lakers.
Oh, and the Warriors, too.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I forgot about the Warriors. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So now 47 games you're paying that tax there in California. Wow. But, you know, to me, that's one that just doesn't register a blip on the radar. Malik Monk signs with the Sacramento Kings right. as well. He'll have an opportunity to kind of rekindle the backcourt he had at Kentucky with De'Aaron Fox. I got to tell you, I love the Joker signing. It's a no-brainer at 5 for 264. Karl Anthony Towns, I thought it was a little bit steep at 4 for 224, pays him $56 million a year. I like Zach LaVine, but here's my concern. He's had a couple of knee injuries. That's an area of concern. I got to tell you, Devin Booker's a no-brainer. John Morant's a no-brainer. I think Jalen Brunson's a little bit rich at $26 million a year. And I got to tell you, the worst signing is Bradley Beal.
And from his perspective, or Washington's
perspective? From his perspective, the question was, do you have a pen? I mean, come on. What, are you kidding me? No chance. The reason why this was a bad signing, what are you winning with Bradley Beal?
Nothing. You've won nothing.
So I said, they might get a sixth seed. They might win two games in the first round, and they'll be on vacation before the second round starts.
Right.
I would have said, listen, Bradley, we think you're a terrific player, but there's no reason for us to pay you this kind of money. You're not selling tickets. Nobody in D.C. is like, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? I'm in the Georgetown area. You just want to go over and land over and go watch Bradley Beal? No, nobody has ever said that in their life.
No, and it's true, but the only reason I even broached the question of for who, Beal, yes, it's a lot of money. Of course, you sign that type of contract. You're basically... your whole career is mediocrity in this point. You're stuck in mediocrity for Beal. And I guess for the Wizards, part of it is that's a guy you just don't win with it being your best player. You just don't win anything of significance.
I think Bradley Beal is a tremendous scorer, especially when you look at his size, 6'3", athleticism, right? Like a lot of people just sitting out there going, wow, how does this guy do this for his size? But he's a number two. That's what he is realistically. You're not winning with Bradley Beal long term. And to me, I just don't get paying a guy $251 and handcuffing yourself. In 3 years, they're going to be looking to unload this deal, and they're going to be sitting there saying somebody's going to take him for a Russell Westbrook type of trade. Not because he's diminished in skill, but just because the contract is an albatross.
Amal, I want to bring up one more thing before we get to Mike Piranio next segment. You like that Zion Williamson.
I love it.
For Durant thing. I had that thought, too, when it came out. Like, you know what? New Orleans has Zion. They have Brandon Ingram. Both of those pieces, either or, would be great pieces for Brooklyn to get for Kevin Durant.
You imagine with McCollum shooting the ball, Ingram's length and his ability to shoot the basketball with KD, Valanciunas inside, and you think KD doesn't want a piece of the Warriors with Draymond Green flapping his gums?
No, it's true. And then for going the other way, assuming Zion doesn't sign that big, massive rookie extension, Zion, Jackson Hayes, 4 first-round picks, maybe one other piece?
The problem,
not terrible.
The problem is, can you afford Jackson Hayes' parole officer? I'm just being realistic.
It's a point that I forgot about there. Mike Piranio joins us next, Betting Across America.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking health-aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. So sign up today with BetMGM or log on to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older to place a wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And that's all the time we have on today's show, Amal. He's Amal Shah. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you. Mike Piranio, of course, the sportsbook manager at Mandalay Bay, joins us right now. Mike, thanks as always for hopping on here on a Saturday afternoon. I guess we'll start in the NBA because it's been a little bit chaotic in the futures market for next season with Kevin Durant demanding a trade, all sorts of movement because of that. How have you guys handled next year's future book because of the news with Durant?
Yeah, it's kind of a lot of action. Thanks for having me on, Jeff. Jamal, I appreciate it. We've had a lot of big moves in the futures, and you expect that with what stuff that's going on. Although I will say the group of favorites are remaining firm, the Suns, Celtics, Clippers, Warriors, and Bucks. But we're still waiting on, Durant and at least Donovan Mitchell, see where they end up. But there has been some moves. The Jazz went from 40-1 out to 125-1. That's surprised me a little bit, the Wolves went down. They went from 66 to about 40. Knicks, they went down too, a huge drop down to 101 from 250. And the Nets went up from 7 to 30. And the other big move was the Spurs, 25-1 out to 500-1. But that seems like that might be a mistake. I don't know if that should have went that far. They're trying to do some moves to the Suns. But you can see the movements are pretty big on futures. And we're coming off a future loss on the Golden State, so I'm sure we're being super careful going into next year, especially with all this frenzy going on right now.
Mike, when you look at the betting futures market, I know if you go back to 2011 when LeBron went to Miami, there was a big shakeup because you could have gotten the Heat, I think, like 60-1 to win the title or something like that. How much of an impact now is the free agency, even before things happen, based on rumors for you guys? Because we see these moves you alluded to with the Suns going down, Heat, Lakers. A lot of this speculation, we don't even actually know what's going to happen. Maybe Rob Pelinka and them can't even pull off a trade and they don't get anybody in reality that helps them win.
Yeah, I mean, it is a frenzy because nobody knows for sure, how it's going to all wash out at the end. I mean, just the fact that Kevin Durant is still in play makes it hard to do futures, although it seems like when he moves around, it hasn't had as much impact as when he went to the Warriors. But it's interesting to see with the growth of, playing all over the country and legalized sports gambling, it seems like futures are getting bet a lot more than they used to be. Although here's a tip for the rookies, futures, we hold your money for a long time. It's not the best bet, and unless you cash, of course. So unless you have Leister at 1,000-1 in soccer, like it happened a few years ago. But it's interesting to see that. And now we're going to have, I think we might want to talk about the college football realignment. That's going to affect futures on that too, although that's going to be, down the road. But I think earliest is 2024. But it's interesting to see some of the realignments in college football too, and that's going to be a huge play for us booking just for travel. I mean, if USC is going to the East Coast, we're going to have to consider traveling in college more than we have previously.
No, Mike, that's a good point. And why don't you speak to that a little bit further? Because we're assuming that this is not going to be the last blow in realignment. We're expecting at some point Notre Dame to make a decision on going somewhere. Just at least for this year, it doesn't make an impact. But the next few years, 2024, you like you said, UCLA, USC in the Big Ten, and Oklahoma and Texas, not as much for travel, but Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC in that year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll turn out to be for the best. There's so many changes going on with players being able to get some money and everything else, and these transfers that they're allowing. It's going to take a while for, I think, it to wash out, and we're going to have to book carefully until we see it washing out. And I think the first show maybe I did, or second show I did with you guys a few years ago, I think I was mentioning that I looked for UNLV to join the Pac-12 eventually because they could recruit to the stadium. Now it might be sooner if they lose all their good teams. UNLV might be in the Pac-12 in a couple years. So it's interesting to see that realignment. And they're going to have to eventually do something with the overall commissioner, have some kind of organization body to watch this stuff. It's from top to bottom.
Mike, you and Jeff both alluded to the travel. I'll tell you, my concern is not necessarily in football. It's in basketball. You know, the Pac-12, the way it's constructed right now, even factoring in Salt Lake City and Boulder, this is the greatest setup ever. Thursday, Saturday, Pullman, Seattle, Palo Alto and Berkeley, Tucson, Tempe. It was unbelievable. Now, all of a sudden, this goes out the window. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. What is USC and UCLA going to have a 5-game road trip to the Midwest?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point because everyone concentrates on football. And you're right, basketball, that travel is even more important. And, maybe down the road here, they're all going to have, maybe all the colleges will have their own private planes. When it gets to that point, I'm not sure I'm going to be a college football fan anymore, but it might be beneficial to have a private plane if you're going to travel like that, especially in basketball.
Oh, the basketball road trip of State College, Piscataway, and College Park. There you go, Amal.
By the way, you know, I'm just saying this personally, and I know Jeff almost went to Penn State, Mike, and I have an anti-Penn State bias having gone to Ohio State, but Penn State should be ostracized from any conference just for location alone. That is the worst place in the world to get in and out of.
What, in the middle of absolutely nowhere, in the middle of the trees?
Try getting out of a game at State College after a night game at Penn State. Oh, beyond bad. Mike, I want to ask you real quick about college football. You mentioned, you know, not being a fan potentially in the future. I'll tell you what, I think this season, I'm always excited for the year, particularly from a betting standpoint, but I got to tell you, I think this is going to be a horrible season in college football because I think Alabama and Ohio State are about 3 miles ahead of everybody else. Do you see anybody else being a legitimate contender to knock those two teams off from meeting in the national title?
Yeah, it's tough to see that. But it's good for the books, to be honest with you, when there's not that big chance for a huge upset because we can keep the odds low to start with and on the main couple teams. Yeah, that's another problem they're going to, you know, run into. But I see college basketball maybe getting some spread out in the talent a little bit more. Maybe that'll be the result of the paying the players and that type of thing. I already see coaches talking smack to each other about who's paying the most for each other's players. So it's not a good right now, but I think they just need a couple years to wash it and play it out and get it settled. And I think it'll bounce back eventually, but it's going to be some turmoil for a couple years.
Mike, we're a little over 2 months away from the NFL season starting, the regular season, of course. Just future bets wise, is there any teams that have taken a bunch of action in the lead up here?
Well, you guys probably have talked about this before, but being in Vegas, Vegas and what they did over the off season, they've been pounded down, and we started them pretty low. The BetMGM traders are pretty wise, so it's not terrible, result for us, but you get a lot of people betting the Raiders, especially here in town. So, you know, when we book nationwide like BetMGM, that offsets a little bit, so we're not in a horrible position. But in the old days, that would not be good for us if we were the only legal book in Nevada and the Raiders were making the moves they make. Now we'll probably get some buybacks on other teams in other parts of the country, which is helping us actually booking.
Mike, I said I've never seen a division this competitive before when you look at all four teams. Do you recall any division being this good top to bottom? Because I think you make case for any of the four teams winning the division, and it would be a legitimate argument.
Yeah, I mean, not maybe as strong as this year. I kind of, Pittsburgh's conference, they used to be, and division used to be pretty tough, especially the division. Times change. But, yeah, you look at that, and we get to enjoy those games. I've been to SoFi a couple times, and it's pretty nice to have all those teams right here and a couple new teams that are playing in a new stadium, and the Raiders are in a new stadium. It's a lot of glitz on the West Coast conferences and divisions, and it's kind of cool. I mean, I think we might have lost the Oakland A's this week, but hopefully they can figure that out. Vegas is a destination and for other reasons now than sports betting, which is good for us too.
He's Mike Piranio, of course, the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook manager, always joins this program on Saturday. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll try our best. On the betting slate for today. We got a lot of baseball coming up at the top of the hour. We preview it next here on Betting Across America.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.